Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. The Mark Cox Morning Show.
I want to compliment your show on how fair and level-headed everything you guys talk about.
Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
Maybe what we need from a conservative standpoint is
the Mark Cox Morning Show.
I respect that. We don't agree.
Listen to both sides.
This,
let's get it on,
is the Mark Cox Morning Show. The Mark Cox Shortlist.
In other words, the answer is yes, but they don't want to say it because they're gutless. You got to say it.
If you want to be a Republican leader, you have to have a working relationship with President Donald Trump.
You have to keep your mask on at all times, even when you're eating.
Do you want to be on the side of Dr. King or George Wallace?
Joe Biden and George Wallace were friends. In fact, he bragged about it.
Joe Biden is a better person than that.
But as a Southerner, I'm offended.
The shelves were bare. Pretty much all the produce is gone.
Wow. Yeah, that's true. It's a problem across the country right now. I don't know if you've experienced it yet or not. Hey, glad you're with us on this Thursday morning. It's kind of cold out there. Apparently going to get colder. A little bit of snow coming in tomorrow night. So Dave Murray will have the latest on that for you. We got your traffic covered this morning. And we will get to all that for you coming up in just a couple of minutes. But I have been following, as I promised, the situation in the United States Supreme Court. Today, this morning, at 9 a.m. Central Time, they are going to release rulings on previous on issues they've heard recently. Now, one of those is Biden v. Missouri. Question is whether the court is going to stay the federal rule requiring all health care workers to be fully vaccinated against COVID-19. That's one of the things they've heard. And the other one is about OSHA. So we could finally get that decision this morning. We had Eric Schmidt on, I believe, on Tuesday, the attorney general, who argued that case last week, and he expected it any minute. And it's been a couple of days now, so it might be this morning. So I know from the Supreme Court website here, they have announcements scheduled for 10 a.m. Eastern time today. So stay tuned here if that happens. I'm sure you'll hear it on the Brian Kilmeade show. And Annie Fry, of course, will have the latest on that and full coverage for you today at noon. So that could happen. I'm anxious to see what's going to happen there. I'm anxious to see what's going to happen with St. Louis County's mandate for masks. From what I can tell, the vast majority of people are just ignoring it. But I have noticed coverage on local news where Doug Moore, the spokesperson for County Executive Page, is encouraging local school districts to follow the county mask mandate. And some of them have, because we know the people that run these local school districts. What they don't do, generally speaking, is listen to the will of the parents. And that's going to be a debate that we have going on here. A little later this morning, we're going to talk to one of the candidates who has declared for that very reason. First-time candidate to run in this year's, in the April election for school board. That's coming up. I know of two other candidates that have been selected by a group of parents actively working to change the face of their school board. We're going to get those candidates on here. I'm going to do my best to make sure you know who the best alternatives are in these local school board elections. We cannot let another election cycle pass without fixing this problem. And that's one of the things that we're going to work on this morning. There's no doubt about that. So did you see Tucker Carlson yesterday, either Denise or
I did.
Carl, did you watch?
I did not.
Did you watch his monologue about Hillary Clinton?
Yes.
He's a savage.
He is.
He is a savage. But
that's why I watch him.
Absolutely. He did a great job, and I'm not going to rehash everything that he talked about. But what he was mentioning was the New York Times editorial yesterday, suggesting that Democrats are trying to draft Hillary Clinton to run for president in 2024. Why? Because she's younger than Joe Biden. And they're afraid Donald Trump will win in a rematch with Joe Biden. Now, clearly there are a variety of problems here. In fact, one of the analysts that Tucker had on who said that will alienate the hell out of every he said the strongest voting bloc in the Democratic Party is black women. He said black women will rebel if they do that because they think that the anointed one would be Kamala, who could become the first female black president of the United States, instead of them trying to give it to an old white lady. And that's not what anybody, but anyway, it's part of the conversation this morning. I brought this up weeks ago. I said there's no reason that Hillary Clinton would be out rehashing and rereading the speech she would have given had she won if she wasn't considering another run at public office, working behind the scenes. So Laura Ingraham last night went out and got Doug Schoen, who is a Democrat and no fan of Donald Trump, but he is convinced Donald Trump could and would beat Joe Biden in a rematch in 2024. This was his reaction when he said this is why people are concerned, because Trump is leading in current polling. Listen.
And I think that a rematch between the two is more likely today than we would have ever imagined even a couple of months ago. And Secretary Clinton is really, I think, the only viable national candidate that we Democrats have as we face historic midterm defeats.
So they are, I mean, this is no longer just speculation. There are people in the Democratic Party, loud voices, largely in the media, from what I've heard so far, pushing the Democrats to bring Hillary out of the woods, dust her off, get her out of the curtains that she wears for clothing sometime and put her back on a national stage. Laura said, do you think she has the energy? Doug Schoen basically said Hillary Clinton would say and do anything to be president of the United States if they had to amp her up on something. And guess what? He also thinks the fact that Joe Biden got elected from his basement gives Hillary Clinton a great option. Listen.
She is an energetic person who has one overarching ambition, Laura, and that ambition is to be president. She will do everything in her power to get through a campaign, get through it vigorously. And this era of virtual campaigns, if she's out on the stump even half the time, that's 100% more than Joe Biden was.
That's the truth. Isn't that scary? Isn't that frightening? A frightening prospect. I mean, it really is. We're going to talk to one of the national political analysts on this coming up here near the bottom of the hour. So be sure and stay tuned for that. About 6:25, we're going to get him on here discussing why the Democrats suddenly want to push Hillary back to the front of the pack. I don't know. What do you think about that? Are you frightened to death at just the prospect of having to walk around every day and hear that voice again.
Back up, you creep. Get away from me.
We'll be right back after this.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Yeah, I'd have to say I'm a big fat no on county council members in St. Louis County getting a pay raise from $20,000 a year to $60,000 a year.
I thought it was $30,000.
So we had Mark Carter on the other day, and the county councilman from District 7, and he had said it's time for council to look. They haven't gotten a pay raise since in a while.
2009.
I think he said since 2019. Is that what he said? No. It's anyway.
It had a 9 in it.
They're allowed to give themselves a pay raise every 2 years if they want to, according to county ordinance. Mark said he had suggested a $10,000 a year pay raise from $20,000 to $30,000. And Ernie Trick has said, well, why not make it $60,000? And then because they started looking around, the Post is reporting that his legislative aide surveyed other jurisdictions from Honolulu to Montgomery County, Maryland, where the salaries range from $68,000 a year in Honolulu to $140,000 a year in Montgomery County, Maryland. So their argument is that at 20, you're getting quite a bargain for a St. Louis County councilperson. I don't know. I don't think it should be a business, personally. They meet one time a week. That's definitely they should be compensated for their time. And there are other meetings that go along with that. As a former elected official, I can tell you, you get assigned to maybe planning and zoning or some subcommittee that meets another night of the week, not usually every week, but every other week or once a month or something like that. There are other duties attached to it. Was it worth $20,000? I guess you could argue yes, in return for you doing this work, we're going to give you $20,000. Is it worth $60,000 for one meeting a week? And maybe a subcommittee meeting here or there. I know they put some work in on it, but it was never designed to be a full-time job. And I don't think people should be running for office because they want an extra $60,000 a year. I would personally. Anyway, it sounds like the council has agreed that regardless, they should put it before voters. The question is, how much of a raise will they seek? So you could see this on the ballot. Now, my guess is, and I don't see this in the article, that they'll put this on like the April ballot or the August ballot when there's not a huge turnout. I could be wrong about that, but that's my suspicion. So anyway, I would say I'm a no. I don't even know if 30 is a good number, but there are local municipalities that are paying their part-time council members $5,000 to $10,000 a year. So I would imagine that double that would be reasonable for somebody sitting on the county council. So that's where they were last night at county council, and you're probably going to see that on your ballot. It sounds like that train is headed down the track. There's bipartisan support for it, making more money. on St. Louis County Council. So I played a little bit of that Hillary Clinton stuff for you earlier. Is it realistic? I said earlier when I listened to Hillary Clinton reading from her what would have been her acceptance speech, that there was something going on here. There's no way this is just there's just not a chance that this is just coincidence. I don't buy that for even a minute, and I think that I think it's something that people have to seriously consider. I really think that going forward that's something that they're looking at, and we're going to talk to Hal Lambert. He used to work for Ted Cruz as a national finance chair, and he's been looking at this possibility today. You know, it all popped up because of a commentary in the Wall Street Journal yesterday that said it's a perfect storm because of the 25% approval numbers for Hillary Clinton. I mean, for Joe Biden. Blech. Would have been Hillary Clinton if she was president. And Bill Clinton has endorsed the idea. Can you imagine? I mean, talk about a liability and a yoke around the neck of any candidate wanting to run for national office. To have Bill Clinton as the first man, I don't know. I think people like the Squad are going to push back on that. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Let me get to Hal here real quick. Hal Lambert on the phone with us. Hal, you ready for Hillary part two?
It's kind of like the zombie apocalypse, right? She just keeps coming back from the dead. Look, I think it's real. This op-ed was clearly orchestrated by her. She wants to start the conversation. She's probably lining up the support behind the scenes of the old guard. They don't have a bench. She sees that. She's the highest name ID out there. I'm sure she's looking back in history going, well, you know, Nixon ran multiple times and he finally got it. Look, you know, I can do it too. Look at my name ID. You won't have to spend a bunch of money to promote me and making her case. So and the sad thing is for the Democrats is that they don't really have anybody. So she's right about that. I mean, there's nobody out there. And she sees that even though she's, you know, getting close to 80 herself. That doesn't seem to matter to Democrats. They just keep putting the same retreads back in there. It'll be interesting to see, but I think it's real.
Well, at least we can look forward to some actual humor on Saturday Night Live.
Citizens, you will elect me. I will be your leader.
This is something that that talk show hosts have dreamed of for a long time, don't you think?
Yeah. Well, I mean, and of course, they're everyone's talking about, well, what would happen in a rematch between, yeah, you know, if Trump were to run again and Hillary. I think Trump would stomp her.
Oh, I do too.
And I think others would as well. I think she's very beatable.
Hal, I'm out of time here, my friend. Thanks for giving us some time.
Thank you.
All right. Have a great day. We're back with sports in just
a great sports mind like Tom Ackerman.
Baseball is really not a hard sport.
Tom Ackerman, thank you for that insight.
It is Anchorman, not Anchor Lady.
It's like powered by coffee this morning.
Sports brought to you by Bomarito Automotive Group.
Tom, so it looks like Major League Baseball and the players are finally back at the table, huh?
Well, look at this. I have something to talk about. You've asked me now for a month, over a month. Is anything happening in baseball? Well, looky here. They're going to talk today. My gosh, you know what? Let's celebrate. Do you have any champagne?
I don't, but I got some hot coffee.
I do too.
All right.
Is that like celebrating at the 50-yard line?
I mean, basically.
Yeah, probably. they're talking. That's great. Actually, it started to get me moving on spring training. I'm trying to figure out where we're going to stay in spring training. And, you know, the hard part there is we don't know when spring training is going to start. It's hard to lease a place when you don't know what the start date is.
True.
It's supposed to be February 14th or 15th, 16th in that area. Anyway, it got my brain working about baseball again. I think it's really important that baseball is on our brains for baseball's sake. Not just for you and for me, but for the young fans out there. Not that we're not young. But the young fans out there that they need. I mean, I've talked about this over and over. There's a lot of options out there. I don't want to lose the fans whatsoever. I know here in St. Louis it's different. I mean, we're always going to be on board with the Cardinals. But it's important to be in the news, to have some buzz. What I hope doesn't happen is that, and there's some really good reporters covering this sport, like some of the best in the world, that things don't get leaked out, but they will, because they're the best reporters, some of them, in all of sports. And word on either side or what they want or whatever is going to leak out, and I hope that people don't pick sides here. What you should pick is that baseball gets played again. It's just a matter of money, and that's hard sometimes. The two sides are very far apart. Players want to get paid more, want to get paid earlier in their careers. Owners want to not increase salary too much. So, you know, it's the old story once again when it comes to a collective bargaining agreement. But they are talking. It's the first talk since talks broke off and they locked out the players on December 2nd.
So normally you would have had these spring break plans set and been moving forward. Everything's just kind of been up in the air.
I'd say by now, we're pretty much set on what we're going to do and everything like that. I'm just having some fun with it. But we do want to know, like, when are we going to get there? You know, what flight should we take? We have not booked that because we didn't know for sure what the date is. But
right.
We'll be there.
I think as the self-designated sports guy on 97.1, you should probably include me in those plans.
Well, you know,
fit
that's
me
a good
into the
point.
Budget.
You're very smart. So you just recognize that the window is still open, that we haven't, like, you know, sealed the envelope on all that. On the contract and everything. So, yeah, there's a chance we need to write Mark Cox in there. Heck, let's write Carl Middleman in there. Let's write Denise in there.
Hey,
let's go.
I think you're onto something. Yeah.
This would have been the Cardinals winter warm-up this weekend. Yeah. It would have been the Cardinals caravan this weekend. This would have been the weekend where we really kick off the 2022 season. This is the start of the season for the Cardinals, where we have that big festival at Ballpark Village for the first time. Always it was at the Hyatt at the Arch. And then the Cardinals Caravan, which I just loved so much. This year I was supposed to go to the Springfield-Joplin trip, which I loved that trip. I had done that one before. But not to be, and, you know, we'll see you in 23. With COVID, I think, you know, that probably could have been hindered too.
Still a real shame, though, with Yachty and Waino and potentially their last season, that the fans didn't get a chance to see them. Assuming they would have been part of it, I'm guessing they would have, right?
Yeah. With the warm-up, yes. Yachty, I always loved Yachty's too. Yachty's was the best because he is such a rock star in this organization. And I've been behind the scenes for the Yachty arrival at winter warm-up, and it's just so cool. Like, Yachty's on his way. Yachty is almost here. Yeah, I can hear them, like, talking you know, on the radio and stuff, and how they escort him into the building. And then he comes out of this back hallway and appears on stage, and it's like, yeah! You know, and all the flashbulb. No, we don't have flashbulbs anymore. We have phones now. But the phones go off. You know, you can see everyone taking pictures and it's exciting when he walks in the room. Not that it isn't for Adam Wainwright or anybody else, but Yachty's just at this level of stardom in this organization. So, yeah, that would have been neat. It would have been neat to see Nolan Arenado experience it for the first time and what it would have been like for him to walk out there in front of the crowd. But not to be. I think that, you know, I'm starting to hear from some of the players about getting into the community in 22. We've already seen Harrison Bader do a really nice thing, substitute PE teacher at Merrimack Elementary in Clayton. I thought that was a great story that made it national. That's cool. I know that Yachty and other players want to do their charity galas, and they're starting to set dates for that, and I've been, you know, hearing some of that stuff. So that's neat, and I like seeing 22 planned out in that way. We just want to see. And the games are there. The schedule's there. You know, you're going to be able to get tickets and all that stuff. We just want to see and be able to talk about the roster and the players and make sure that everything starts on time. I think that it will, Mark. I'm an optimist, but I do think there's just too much money to be made for it not to happen. It's just, you know, a little frustrating right now that it's unsure.
Let's just get to the other side of this. Get the universal DH approved because we all see it coming.
Yeah.
And get Albert under contract, and I think the Cardinals can move forward this season.
They do have a couple more pieces.
Yeah.
And DH is one of them. Now, they have some internal candidates, but a DH would be one of them. I think, as much as I'd love to have Albert here, I'll take Albert in a heartbeat. I think he'd sell tickets and be amazing.
Oh, yeah.
But I think, you know, their bigger need baseball-wise would be a lefty bat. But obviously, if that happens, I'm not complaining. And then the other thing they need is more pitching. I wouldn't be surprised if they added another starting pitcher, even though their rotation is set. I think we learned our lesson last year that an injury happens, you better be ready to have another arm or two to plug in there, or add another really, really good reliever to bulk up this bullpen and make it dynamite. And I think they might do that too.
It will remind me the next time I have you on the show and there's a major sporting event like, I don't know, the college football championship coming up, and you tell me what's going to happen to go ahead and just make the bet right then.
That's right.
Well, no pressure.
Thank you. I did have Georgia. I felt really good about it. Once upon a time, I picked the Chiefs winning the Super Bowl, and I picked the score exactly. Do you remember that?
I do. Yeah.
I said Chiefs 31-20, and I wish I had that tape. I don't know where it is. It is somewhere out there on the internet. I wish, actually, that I had made more of a deal about that. Not the Georgia thing, the Chiefs picking the score, and wish probably that I had bet the actual score. I think you probably can do that somewhere.
You can bet on anything.
Would have made a boatload on that. But no, I appreciate it. I'm not a bettor. Like, I don't bet sports. The only time I ever do it, occasionally, because I was endorsing FanDuel.
Right.
So I like playing that and playing their FanDuel sports book. You have to be in the state of Illinois to do it, though. Physically, you can't do it here where we're sitting. You have to go across the river. But I like it. And I think, you know, occasionally a trip to Vegas is always fun, you know, wager a little bit. But, yeah, I'm glad. Next time, you know, you and I will plan ahead.
Yes, we will. All right. Tom Ackerman, thank you, my friend.
Thank you. We just spent almost the whole time talking baseball.
Isn't that great?
It's awesome.
Fantastic.
What's happening?
Go, you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In other news.
I'm going to start with a bit of a local story because when I saw this making the rounds yesterday, I remembered talking about this when the Rhodes Scholar from St. Louis that went to Whitfield, won the Rhodes Scholarship, and now she has to give it back.
Ouch.
What?
Yeah. Her name is Mackenzie. Well, now it's Mackenzie Fierston. It used to be Mackenzie Morrison. She changed her name and made up a last name of Fierston.
Oh,
I
know why.
Really? Why?
Is this the woman that faked everything?
Well, she's having to give it back, the scholarship, which was going to give her money to go to Oxford. She wanted to pursue a PhD. She's 23 years old now.
Mm-hmm, right.
Was going to pursue a PhD in social policy at Oxford. But she kind of, didn't tell the whole truth about her story, her sad story about growing up in the foster system in the St. Louis area. That basically there was an investigation. Someone tipped off the people that gave her the scholarship, so they started looking into the story.
Oh, the money.
And she did live in the foster system for about a year, but she embellished a lot of the details about that time, about how horrible her conditions were. And she really lived with her mom, who had worked in a St. Louis hospital, had a decent job, lived in a middle upper class neighborhood, rode horses as a hobby. And I don't know how this stuff was missed, or they don't really look into these things when you write your sob story about getting a scholarship, but she has been found out and the scholarship is gone.
And she's got to give it to get back and come home?
I mean, she's already got a degree.
Is she in England?
I mean, no. I think she was going to, that was the next step. That's what the scholarship was for.
She was getting her PhD.
Yeah, she was going to go get her PhD there. So her plans have changed. She's been found out.
Catches up with you eventually.
When
you reported the original story,
yes,
someone said, hey, I know her. You're welcome, Denise.
Yeah, exactly. Some news coming out about the Rust movie with Alec Baldwin with the shooting and everything. The armorer, who is at the center of the movie, has sued the supplier of the ammunition that was on set. So Hannah Gutierrez Reed is suing PDQ, which is the prop company, claiming the incident was actually the fault of the company, Seth Kenney's company, and that he supplied the set with both live and dummy rounds prior to the shooting. And the story goes on to kind of even imply that it may have been done on purpose, though there is a motive that was apparently released to the story, but hasn't been released publicly yet.
Interesting. Here's what I would say about that.
from every person I've spoken to with any knowledge about this, including a local movie director,
Frankie Cavallanetta.
You can't look at a blank round and a live round and not immediately tell the difference. There's either a bullet on the end of it or there's not. There's either lead on the end of it or there's not. Blanks don't have that. I don't know how she could act like it's somebody else's fault. Whoever put the ammunition in the gun should have been able to tell the difference.
Which
the story is messy because everyone's blaming everybody else, right? So it's like follow the bouncing ball and who do you believe? And she's saying that while she was supposed to oversee it, it was out of her sight because of COVID protocols. She had to go someplace else, then come back in. So it happened when she was gone. So someone must have known that she wasn't going to be. You know, it's just it's
interesting. The plot thickens.
It's complicated, but it's just that it wasn't me.
Were they trying to set up Baldwin?
It wasn't me. Not me. Somebody else.
There was no way where they would know that he was going to aim it at that particular person. If what she's saying is that they were trying to set up Adam Baldwin.
Potentially. That's why it's so messy. The St. Louis City health officials are now recommending that you stay home. And only go out for essential things.
Are they canceling our work? I mean,
well, here's the thing. I don't really know who all of these people are that make up the city health, department, and who these officials are that are saying these things, because there is a mask mandate in place in St. Louis City. There is no restrictions on capacity, blah, blah, blah. And they're not saying that there's going to be, but they're keeping an eye on everything. But just to be safe, you should probably just go out for the essentials.
Stay home. And flatten the curve. How long is it this time? A year?
It was 2 weeks, and now it's what? We're going on
year two.
So, with the stories with Omicron, it's going to peak, it's going to go down, and they're close to that point. So,
and then we've all got herd immunity, and then we just move on with our lives.
So we could just think positive, which would be nice. But
yeah, thank you.
But we need to just keep testing, right? Because then it will end. But that's neither here nor there. Keep my mouth shut. Okay, all right. Let's talk about President Biden's approval ratings, because that's always fun. 33% approval rating, which means 53% disapproval rating. This is a Quinnipiac poll. That's down 3 points from their last poll. So the numbers aren't going the right direction for the president. And I don't think his speech the other day really helped him any, because there's people on both sides of the aisle that are like, that was a bit much.
Yeah.
When you've got Dick Durbin going, he went too far, linking Republicans that are opposed to his party's bill, comparing him to
Jefferson
George
Davis.
Wallace. Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Al Sharpton, while he said that he thought the speech was good, it was a more of a you're going to hell speech, not a go out and vote speech.
I already forgot what the hell I was going to say.
I'm like, when I saw the headline, it was just like, not everybody's kind of on board with how the speech went down. And it's like, you've got Dick Durbin saying things, you've got Al Sharpton that they're mentioning. And Jen Psaki, when she was asked about it, all she said was, it's hilarious that people are so bent out of shape about how aggressive he came across. It was a good speech. It was what he needed to do at the time. And all of you people that think that he went too far, this is just hilarious.
I think maybe she's writing some of this crap, and which is why she's so
defensive. She gets so offensive. Yes.
Think about that.
Yeah.
She gets really defensive about any criticism of his speeches. I know she's his spokesperson, but it almost sounds like she takes it personally.
She does.
Because
she gets heated too, and that's how that speech went down. So maybe.
Corn Pop was a bad dude.
Yeah.
Have you ever been in one of those pay it forward lines in a fast food restaurant or something? Has that ever happened to you? Like the whole I'm going to pay for the guy behind me.
Yes,
and I'm
that has happened to me once.
Oh, good for you.
I wished at that moment I'd ordered more. But
that's the beauty of it, Mark.
I know, I'm just teasing.
There just happens to be a story out this morning about a Starbucks line that went to 23 people that were doing the pay it forward, and eventually the person stopped. It was like, the person behind me ordered what? How much? And it was like about almost $50 or something,
gosh,
and that guy had bought like a $6 drink, and he was like, yeah, I think I'm done with this. Of course, at which point, that goes viral on TikTok, because people are like, how dare you stop the pay it forward? Which... it's never happened to me.
No, it's only happened to me once. And it only cost me $7 or something like that. Wasn't bad. Not bad at all. Coming up, we got the former Senator Jim Talent's going to join us, and we're going to talk to Kim St. Ange, who walked away from her job at Channel 4 over the vaccine mandate.
I'm Ed.
Get more at 971talk.com. Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.